I don't usually begin a message by telling a love story. And rarely have I ever told my own love story. It's 64 years ago this summer that I was invited with my brother Bob to go over to Ladysmith for a Sunday school picnic held at Shell Beach just across the bay from Ladysmith. We went over, it was a beautiful day, and during the day we were walking along the beach with some of our friends, and there was a group coming in the other direction. And as this group got closer, there was a young lady, beautiful in form, with a rather mischievous smile on her face, and really projecting a sense of self-confidence. I've never been the same since. I didn't even know her name. I was too embarrassed to ask anybody what her name was. But in the afternoon, there was an announcement, there's going to be baptisms. This was a Sunday school picnic from the church in Chemainus and the church in Ladysmith, and neither building had a baptistry. So they kept the baptisms till the annual Sunday school picnic when the two churches got together. So we walked down, and there was quite a large group standing. And then I saw a smaller group, and I realized these are the people that are going to be baptized. And would you believe it? The vision of beauty was right in that small group. And I knew I would know her name. Because when she walked into the water to be baptized, the gentleman said, "Grace, do you..." I knew her name. At least her first name. It wasn't later on until I found out that the last name was McLeod. And believe me, I'm not embarrassed to say this. That's the only time in my life that something like that happened. And Grace has been my constant companion now, right down through the years. And we have been married now almost 59 years. And I was in to see her the other day. and I was telling some of the friends who know Grace, she was in a different position than where she usually is. She can't walk now. She's in a wheelchair. And in case you don't know, Grace has Alzheimer's disease, and it's quite advanced. And I walked in. She saw me first. And she said, "Dad," she sometimes calls me Dad, "Dad, I love you." And I realized that even in this condition, that bond that was formed 64 years ago has never wavered down through the years. Now, I don't know your love story. Maybe so far in your life you haven't met that person that will be your companion forever in this life. And I hope when you meet that companion, you will make a serious commitment that you're together for the rest of your life. Across from where I live, there's a large church. And meeting in that church every week, there's a group of about 40 women, all representing broken Christian marriages. It is a beautiful thing to see two people come together and make a decision they are going to live together for God's glory and do so right through to the end of their lives. Now, I've told you this little story because that was the epiphany of Grace in my life. Her name was Grace. I'm not talking about divine grace. I'm talking about a woman that came into my life and changed me. She added to my life a lot of wisdom, took me into areas of love I knew nothing about, filled our home with kindness and hospitality, and we have lived down through those years. And I go back and remember 64 years ago, the epiphany of grace. That woman came into my life. Now for this month, we're going to talk about God's grace. That's a whole other subject. Far more important than the epiphany of grace that I've talked about this morning. And I think it's only right to ask the question, in your life, up until the present time, have you experienced the epiphany of divine grace? Has God's grace touched your life? Our portion is Titus chapter 2, and this morning we're going to look at verse 11. Titus chapter 2 and verse 11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. Books have been written on that phrase. Let's read it once more. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. I've talked to you about my wife. If Grace was here and understood this morning what we're talking about, she'll be the very first to recognize this is grace on a higher level. This is grace that comes out of the heart of God. It is absolutely perfect. It is absolutely awesome. It's a grace that we should never, never minimize. And it's only that grace, the grace of God, that can take you and radically and beautifully change you and bring you into the family of God. So I ask once again the question, have you been touched by the grace of God? Has there been an epiphany of grace in your life? You go back to the Old Testament, we won't look at the portion, but Moses wasn't a perfect man. If anybody knew that, God knew that. And he struggles with God. And he wants to know what God is really like. And there may be people here this morning in that same situation. You wonder, how can I know God? What is God really like? And that was the subject that filled Moses' heart. And finally, God said to him, it's a long story, but it's just a summary of the story. God said, the Lord God, merciful, gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in goodness and truth. And right there you have the elements of divine grace. Let me go over them once again. Merciful, long-suffering, abundant in goodness and truth. That is God's grace. And when it comes to us, it does change us. May I say this morning, please remember, God's love is not a wishy-washy love. God's love is not a sentimental, fickle love. It is a strong, permanent, unchanging, steady love. And blessed is the person here this morning who has a companion who in some measure reflects that grace of God. But when it comes to God, there's no weakness. His grace is wonderful. It is full. And it's a grace that's showered on those who receive His Son as the Lord Jesus, as the Savior. Grace and I were in Ireland, the Republic of Ireland. Maybe I shouldn't tell you this, but missionaries do take holidays now and then. And we were over for meetings in the United Kingdom, but we set 2 weeks aside. And we took a tour of the Republic of Ireland, and it was a beautiful tour, and the weather was wonderful. And we stopped at a little town, I don't remember the name. Flowers were everywhere. The little houses were whitewashed. It was beautiful. We're walking down the street. I had Grace by the hand. When all of a sudden, a mature lady was on my other side. I'd seen her. She was a member of the tour, but I didn't know her by name. And as we walked, she said one or two things. And then she stopped and looked me right in the eye. And she said to me, Mr. Cochran, do you believe in God? And I thought to myself, nobody's ever asked me that question before. And here I am in Ireland with someone I don't even know. And she said, do you believe in God? And I answered very simply, yes, I believe in God. She lowered her head and she said to me, my husband had a great difficulty with believing in God. I didn't know who her husband was. He wasn't there as far as I knew. Had no idea who this lady was. She said to me, he lost all of his family in the Holocaust. And he found it very difficult to believe in God. I don't know what problems you might have with God. When things go wrong in your life, do you point the finger at God? When things go tragically wrong in the history of our world, do you point the finger at God? Let's remember this morning what kind of God we believe in. God doesn't love us because we are good. And He doesn't hate us because we are bad. God in His essence is love. And that love is expressed in grace. You don't merit this. You've no claim to this love. It just comes out in its fullness. It's the grace of God. Well, our text this morning says, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. Potentially, it is available to every single human being, and it doesn't matter who that person is. I think we have to remember that. In the history of our world, when we talk about the grace of God, it is tangible. In that sense, it is historical. We're not talking about a fable or a myth. Even non-Christians, if they're open and sincere, recognize the impact of Jesus in the history of the world. He was born. His life is well known in the Gospels. His death is appalling. Then there is the fact of the resurrection and His ascension into the eternal glory. These are things that come to us, and the grace of God is anchored in those historical facts. So I'm not telling you a fairy tale this morning. I'm talking about something that really happened 2,000 years ago in the history of the world. In other words, God's grace is not ambiguous. It's not a wild fancy. It's not something that we've made up. You can touch it historically in the history of our world. And as we think about it this morning, I remember in the Dominican Republic, we lived for 11 years. The last 11 years we're in the Republic. We were in a second story apartment, and just a few meters down was the Atlantic Ocean. And I could look from my study and see those waves coming in. Well, it's 5 o'clock in the morning. And I'm dead asleep. And Grace wakes me up. And she says, now Jim, I want you to get up. And I'm thinking to myself, why am I getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning? Down in the tropics, it's still black outside. You can't see a thing. There was no moon at that time. Grace said, Jim, I want you to get up. So I got up. She handed me my slippers. She took me by the hand and we walked down the hallway through my study into the living room and then out onto the porch of the apartment, which looked right over the Atlantic Ocean. You could hear it. I could hear the waves. You couldn't see it. It was so dark. No moon. And I'm standing there thinking, what in all the world am I doing here standing at 5 o'clock in the morning? Well, Grace said, Jim, be patient. Just be patient. Well, it happened. All of a sudden, there was a light, just a very faint light, and I could see the horizon where the sky and the sea meet. And the light grew a little stronger, and then all of a sudden, the rim of that ball of fire, we call it the sun, it comes up much quicker in the tropics than it does here where we live in Canada. And almost all of a sudden, that darkness was gone and the world was filled with color and light and beauty and movement. The sun appeared. Paul tells us the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared. It happened in the history of the world. When I think about that this morning, I don't only want to think about it historically. I'm going to go back to where we began. Has it appeared in your life? Your life that was dark because of sin and may still be dark because of sin. Has the grace of God appeared in your life, bringing beauty, movement, and above all, life that is eternal? Well, it appeared. Now, a little bit of grammar. The Greek language is quite different from the English language. You usually, in the Greek language, take the most important word and you put it at the beginning. Now, it doesn't sound very good when we do it in this particular case, but it would read like this. Appeared the grace of God that brings salvation to all men. It doesn't sound right in English that way. In the Greek language, that puts the emphasis on the most important thing. It really happened. The grace of God appeared in our world. And it came into this world when we didn't merit it. Some of you were brought up in Sunday school, and here are some of the verses you probably memorized. Here's one. But God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't wait until you reformed yourself. Just the way you are, lost in your natural state, God loved you. And He sent His Son who came into the world and He died for you. In the language of Paul, Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. The grace of God is compared as a contrast with sin. Paul writes to the Romans, where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. Now, I'm going to take a moment to give you some of the translations of that verse. The contemporary English version reads, yet where sin was powerful, God's kindness was even more powerful. Here's the New English Bible. But where sin was thus multiplied, grace immeasurably exceeded it. J.B. Phillips, I like his translation of the New Testament. Yet though sin is shown to be wide and deep, thank God His grace is wider and deeper. And then Eugene Peterson at Regent College, in his translation called The Message, when it's sin versus grace, grace wins hands down. Now remember, we're making a contrast. Sin is a powerful influence in the history of the world. It may be a powerful influence in your life. There is something more powerful, more beautiful, and it's the grace of God. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And to the heart that opens itself to God, it comes in like a flood. And it changes you radically. Do you think I'm exaggerating this morning? We've got all of these stands here. Just imagine that this is the cross, the three crosses, where the Lord Jesus died, and beside Him, one on each side, were two criminals. And in that position, as they were there, I don't know all that happened. I know at the beginning, the two criminals, they railed against the Lord Jesus. They had no sympathy for Him whatsoever. But something happened, and I don't know what happened. Was there conversation between the Lord Jesus and one of them? Well, if there was, it's not written in the Bible. Was it simply through observation, looking at the Lord Jesus, that this man changed his mind? And he said to his companion, you know perfectly well we deserve this. Deserve what? Capital punishment. That's the confession of sin. He was being put to death. He merited that because of the crimes he had committed. He acknowledged that. He looked at the Lord Jesus and he said to his companion, that man didn't do anything wrong. Nothing. You've got confession of sins and repentance. And then he turned to the Lord Jesus. I don't know if you can even try to visualize this. Three men just about to die in awful circumstances. And he looked at the Lord Jesus and he said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Now that's faith on an enormous scale. Someone who's dying by Roman crucifixion, the thief knew, this is the Lord of creation. This is the Lord of the everlasting kingdom. And he said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And figuratively speaking, the Lord Jesus took him by the hand and walked him right into paradise. That's the grace of God. Did that criminal merit that? Of course he didn't merit that. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And grace came in like a flood and took that man in the last moments of his life and ushered him right into the presence of God. I don't know if you, I'm sure you sing sometimes here that hymn by John Newton, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Do you know his story? As a young man, he was an appalling human being. He was involved in the slave trade from Africa to the Americas. But he was morally so corrupt that though he was white, he was sold once as a slave. And this is the man down so low in our human situation that God touched with his amazing grace. He never got over it. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. He goes on to speak of it all about his life down through that hymn. We should sing it now and then to remember none of us merit the goodness of God. It comes because of his grace. It comes right into our lives. Or take Paul. This is one of the outstanding stories in the New Testament. Paul, or when he was known as Saul of Tarsus, was public enemy number one of the Christian church. There was no one else who devastated the Christian community in his early years like Saul of Tarsus. And if you read carefully the scriptures, he went after men and women. Just pause for a moment. Think of the broken families, the children left as orphans. And he not only persecuted them, but he was breathing out threats and murder. He would have been happy if every Christian he could get his hands on would be killed. He's on his way to Damascus. He's almost there. He's just outside of the door of the city gate. When there was a light. Now, if you read carefully the three narratives, there's a light. Then it's called a great light. And the third time, a light brighter than the sun at noon. And this happened at noontime. In other words, it's another worldly light. It's the glory of God. And Saul is down on the ground, looking up into this light. And there's a man there. There's a person there. And as he looks up, he says, Lord, who are you? May I suggest to you that the Lord Jesus spoke to him in Aramaic. That was the language of Nazareth where Jesus was brought up. It was the language of Galilee. It was like the second-class language. It wasn't the pure Hebrew. And here's the Lord Jesus in that glory. And he says in Aramaic to Saul of Tarsus, I'm Jesus of Nazareth. And that man's life imploded like that. It was gone. All the energy of his life was spent in destroying anything related to Jesus Christ. And there he is in the midst of the divine glory. That's the grace of God that came down and picked up this man and transformed him into one of the great apostles of the Lord Jesus, who spent the rest of his life taking the message of good news around that world. And he suffered enormously. But he'd been touched by the grace of God, and he had been transformed. Well, this grace of God, it has appeared potentially to all men. May I just ask a simple question this morning? Have you been touched by the grace of God? Are you aware of it? Is there some moment in your life when that grace came in just like a flood and filled your life with hope and new life?
Yes.
Thank God for someone. I'll add my yes. And I'm sure there's many more here this morning that have been touched by that grace. Maybe I'm not talking specifically to you. I'm kindly speaking to those who have not been touched by the grace of God. And I'm telling you this morning, you have the opportunity where you are to open your heart and mind and let God's grace come in and forgive you, transform you, and remake you. For if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation, beautiful to behold. Let me share with you this morning that it did potentially appear to all men. That does not mean that every single human being will accept that grace. But it's there for everyone. For everyone in this room this morning, it is there. And this grace is so important that to the best of my knowledge, this is the only thing that God is going to put on display forever and ever. For Paul says to the Ephesians that in the ages to come, let's go back to where we lived in the Dominican Republic. In the daytime, I could see those waves coming in one after another. Never saw two the same, different in shape, different in color, different in movement. One, if I could may wave a magic wand and take you all down there today, they're still coming in one after another. Endlessness. In the ages to come, one after another, there's one thing that God is going to put on display. He is going to show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. You know, you might think the transcendent, eternal God might have all kinds of things He wants to put on display forever and ever. Well, if He does, we don't know about them. But we do know here that in the ages to come, God is going to show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. And Paul, we talked about him this morning, listen to his own words. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace toward me was not in vain. Now I'm going to speak to myself and I'm going to speak to my fellow Christians. If we have been touched by the grace of God, God grant we haven't been touched in vain, that we haven't let God's grace fill us the way He wants to fill us and use us the way He wants to use us. Paul isn't boasting in a selfish sense. He's simply making a factual statement. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and His grace toward me was not in vain. There may be a great multitude out there in our world today who bear the name of Christian, and there's not very much of Christianity linked to the way they live. If it's touched you, let us all pray that it's not touched us in vain. And as I close this morning, some of you probably are students of Shakespeare. You know, I shouldn't tell you these stories, but Grace and I used to go back to Ontario for a month or 6 weeks of meetings every year. I'd never widely announced to other people, but we always went to Stratford on the free nights, and we would see some of the great Shakespearean plays. Some of them I will never forget. I don't think that grace was a favorite word of Shakespeare, but it does appear. It appears in Richard III when Hastings says to Ratcliffe, "O momentary grace of mortal men, which we more hunt for than the grace of God." You know that every one of you here this morning would like to be surrounded by gracious people, kind people, people you can respect and look up to. How often I've had people say to me, knowing the situation of my wife, they've said to me, "Oh, Jim, she was such a gracious lady." We like people like that. Listen to Shakespeare, because he's right on target. "O momentary grace of mortal men, which we more hunt for than the grace of God." I want you to be my friend because you're a nice person. God wants to be your friend. His grace comes out and we don't look for it. You have an opportunity this morning to take that grace, God's grace that comes in the person of the Lord Jesus, who went to the cross and gave his life for us. He died for our sins. And let that grace come into your life with salvation, with beauty, with strength. A word of warning: do not trifle with the grace of God. We don't often talk about it in our churches today, but no one talked about coming judgment more than the Lord Jesus. And that coming judgment, which is fearsome, will be directed towards those who spurn the grace of God. Do not trifle with God's grace. Open your heart, let it come in, and it will fill you. How do you respond to his grace? I told you, didn't I? The other day I went in to see Grace, and she said, "Dad, I love you." That's how we respond. When you met the young lady you married, or the young man that you married, at some time in that early relationship, you said to each other, "I love you." Here's the Lord Jesus with Peter. And Peter, who boasted he would never deny the Lord, he denied the Lord three times. And they're seated together, and the Lord Jesus says to Peter, "Peter, do you love me?" Peter's a little bit embarrassed. He said, "Yes, Lord, I love you." And a few moments went by, and then again, "Peter, do you love me?" And now the second time, a little bit more agitated, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And then the third time, "Do you love me?" And Peter said, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Let me ask you this morning, when did you last say to the Lord Jesus that you love him? He is the grace of God. He comes into our lives. He loves us. There's no doubt about it. The natural way to respond to love is to love the person that loves you. And the Lord Jesus said to Peter a number of times, "Do you love me?" I conclude now this morning. Some of you of my generation will remember Dorothy Sayers. She used to write detective stories. But she was a Christian woman. In the latter years, she wrote a lot of Christian things. And here's a few words from Dorothy Sayers. "Grace abounds only when there is genuine repentance. And we cannot simultaneously will sin and repentance, since this involves a contradiction in terms." Be serious in your commitment with the Lord Jesus. Don't come playing games. Don't have some type of contradiction in terms that, "Yes, I'm a Christian," and then you go out the door and this week you do things you know you shouldn't do. We're going to talk about that later on in the month, because grace is our teacher. tells us what to do and what not to do. But this morning, just where you are, seated in this auditorium and thinking about God's grace, I'm going to ask you now to close your eyes and bow your head, and we're going to close with our benediction. And as we do this morning, may God speak to your heart. And if you've never responded to His love and His grace, you can do it where you're seated right now. Just open your heart and ask the Lord Jesus to come in. And now, may the God of all grace, who called us to His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after we have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle us. To Him, the God of all grace, be the glory and the dominion forever and ever, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.